Good evening, everyone. Welcome to prayer meeting. Let's begin by, let's all come together to pray and look to God before we hear the word. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day and I thank you for this time, Lord, where we can come together, Lord, to pray, to meditate on your word. Father, speak to our hearts. Show us, Lord, where you're calling us, what you are saying to us. Speak clearly to each one of us, Lord. I pray that you minister through your word. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good to have you join us tonight. So today I would like to share with you from John 21, 15 to 23. And the title of my sharing is, Do You Love Me? So reading from John 21, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die. But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? So this whole passage, even when we read the first 14 verses of John 21, we find that this incident happened after Peter had denied Jesus three times and Jesus had resurrected from the dead. And he actually instructed the disciples to go to Galilee. And we see that in this whole conversation, Jesus is talking to Peter about having the right relationship with him. And he shows us what that means through this passage. Because the most important thing when we talk about relationships, the most important relationship is our relationship with Christ. And Christ knows this, that this relationship is what is going to sustain Peter. So he comes to meet Peter by the Sea of Galilee. Now, who is Peter? So as I said earlier, Jesus had actually instructed the disciples to go to Galilee, to the mountain in Galilee. You find that in Matthew 28:16. But instead, they are found by the sea. And this is actually the doing of Peter, because he told them, you know, I'm going to fish. And all the disciples who were there also said, okay, we also fish. Okay, so you can obviously see Peter is a leader, and the rest followed. And in this time of when they were fishing through the night and they didn't get anything, and they obviously was very tired, but then somebody is walking on the shore and asked them, children, have you caught any fish? And they say no. And he asked them to throw their nets on the other side. And immediately John is the one who realizes that it is Jesus, and he says it. And at that very moment, Peter forgets about the fish that they toiled all night. You know, he forgets that he's actually in charge of this boat. He leaves it. He doesn't really think about, you know, how many fishes were caught. The boat is practically sinking. He seemed not to care. He just sprang into the water to greet Jesus. He wore his outer garments and he jumps right into the water. And here we see Peter is very impulsive. He abandons his fishing gear. He is very impatient and he wants to greet Jesus. And this is actually who Peter is. So we see that Peter has been with Jesus for 3 years, and he understood who Jesus is, that he is God in human flesh. He's the Messiah. He has done miraculous. He has miraculous power. There is no one like him. But Peter is not intimidated by this. In fact, Peter was very bold to even rebuke Jesus and say, Lord, let it not be so. I will not allow you to go to the cross. Okay. And Peter was actually very overconfident of his spirituality. And he even said to Christ, I will not forsake you, even if everyone in the world does. Okay. So Peter's calling was, he was called to be an apostle, a leader of the 12. He was their spokesman. Jesus chose him to be in the inner circle of the three, including James and John. Peter spoke profound revelation. He walked on water. He grabbed a sword in the garden to fight the Roman soldier. He was tested. He failed. He was weak. He was fearful. He lost courage. He was completely collapsed. He wept and he repented. So now we see in John 21, Jesus comes to Peter, because Peter's relationship with Jesus is not what it should be. And what is the right relationship that Jesus wants Peter to have with him? So Jesus comes to Peter to restore what was broken and getting Peter back on the right course. So the first thing that we see that Jesus does in his conversation is he is talking about loving him. So he tells Peter here, ask Peter three times, do you love me more than this? He asks him, he calls him by his full name and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? And Simon says, yes. And he says, you know that I love you. And so Jesus says, feed my lamb. And again, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus says, take care of my sheep. And the third time he says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And here Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? And here Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. So here, what we can see from this passage and something that we need to remember as we go through it is there are two kinds of love that are talked, are said here. Okay? When Jesus asks Peter whether he loves him, he uses the agape love, which is the highest form of love, a loyal, committed, self-sacrificial love. But when Peter answers, Peter uses the filial love, which is a brotherly love, a lesser love than agape. Okay, so this is the exchange between Peter and Jesus and the love that they are talking about. But the question is, why did Jesus ask Peter this question? Do you love me? Jesus wanted to actually put a spotlight on this area because Peter had always claimed very strongly his love for Jesus. Peter had told Jesus that even if everyone else fell away, he would remain true, and that he was willing to even go to prison and to die for Jesus because his love was so strong. And we see that in Matthew 26, 33 to 35. Peter answered him, "Though they fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. So here we see that Peter always thought that he was faithful to Christ, that he loved Jesus deeply. But after his denial, he would have realized that, or thought, or had these thoughts that maybe he never understood what it is to love Christ, or never really loved Jesus, because all his words never matched his actions. He might have thought, "Do I really know what it means to love God? Can I love him?" And sometimes we ourselves ask these questions. The many times where we have failed, or we have made bad decisions, or we have disobeyed, or we have been stubborn and made bad choices, and after doing something, we could have asked ourselves the same question: how could I have done this? Do I really love Jesus? So that is why Peter answers with the filial love, because Peter is very honest with his reply, and he is very humble with his reply, because he does not want to make any more bold claims that he cannot live up to. And that is why on the third time, when Jesus asked him, Jesus now uses the filial love instead of the agape love. And he asked Peter, "Do you filial me?" So Jesus was willing to come down to meet Peter where he was, telling Peter, "I will still work with you. I will still come to you. I will help you. I will lift you up." And each time, you see, when we read just now, each time when Peter said, "Yes, I love you," Jesus keeps telling him, "Feed my lamb, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep." So Jesus is calling Peter to be a shepherd like him, to feed and to care for others, to love others, to bring people into his kingdom, to preach the gospel, to help the widows, the orphans, the poor, to fight for injustice, to pray for the sick. And so what Jesus is actually talking about, we can find in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, this is where Jesus talks about the final judgment. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me.'" So here, Jesus, when he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And then Peter says, "Yes." And then he says, "Be the shepherd. Be the person who will love the people. And this is how you will love me. When you take care of my sheep, when you care for them, when you do what I have done for them, when you become that good shepherd, that is when you will love me." Because many times we find it very difficult to love God. When he asks, we find that sometimes doing all so many things is and so many rules and all these things, we find that it's so difficult to love God. But here, Jesus makes it so clear to Peter. If you say you love me, you will take care of the sheep. You will be that shepherd. And when you love the people, when you care for them, you are actually loving me and doing all those things for me, like how we find here in Matthew 25. So, and the way Jesus comes to Peter, he actually demonstrates how to be that shepherd. He comes to Peter in a place where Peter has denied him and he would be feeling guilty and he would be having a lot of questions, whether, you know, what is my future, his relationship with Christ, you know, but Jesus just makes everything so beautiful. He comes to him and he shows him love. He speaks to Peter. He ministers to Peter out of his deep love for him. And Jesus restores and reinstates Peter out of his faithful love, his hesed love for Peter. And Jesus is actually not asking Peter, you know, what is the scale of your love to me from 1 to 10? Okay, how much do you love me? That was not what he was asking. But what he was asking from Peter was telling Peter, if you love me so deeply and personally, then you will do what I'm asking of you to do. This mission that I want you to be the shepherd, to care for my sheep. And because after this, Jesus is going to leave the disciples. And he is asking Peter to rise up to be that leader, the apostle. Okay? So what he's also telling Peter is, as I have ministered to you, as you have received forgiveness, as you have been ministered by me right now in this place, you need to do the same for the others. So freely you have received, so freely you must give. And this is what we see in Matthew 12. When Jesus sent the 12 out, this was the instructions he gave them. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any towns of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven is come. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely you give. And we can only give what we have received from God. His love, his care, his assurance, his forgiveness, his strength, his wisdom. And we receive all these things in his presence through his word by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we cannot manufacture this. We cannot care and be a good shepherd and take care of people and love them from a place of emptiness. We must be continuously filled each day from this place of love. And this love is the love that compels us to go and to care and to love. So in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, it says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So because Jesus died for us, we are also dead to our old self. The new self within us is at work through the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we live to please God and not ourselves. So Christ's love compels us to live differently. It constrains us to a certain course of action. His love causes us to be zealous for him, his word, and to love Christ. And loving Christ means keeping his word. And in John 14, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Verse 23, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So when we believe and when we receive the truth of who Jesus is, we are set free and we are able to hold on to his teachings and keep his commands. And Jesus knows keeping his commands in this fallen world requires a divine source of power, and that is the Holy Spirit living in us. So loving Jesus is not merely a feeling, but it is an active, abiding, ongoing relationship of following and obeying our loving Master. Then Matthew 10, 37 to 38 talks about loving God above all. It says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Here, Jesus is asking us, because if you remember, he's asking Peter the same thing. Do we love Jesus more than anything or anyone else? Because to have that right relationship with God, the most important component is loving Christ. And we must love him most of all. We must love him more than anyone or anything else. Then the second thing in the conversation with Peter that we will notice is that Jesus talks, we will read from verse 18. It says, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. So when he talks to Peter about stretch out your hands, this is words to show that someone who is going to be nailed to a cross. And Jesus predicts that Peter will die a martyr's death to glorify God. And the way he would be, and the way he would die would be a sacrifice because of his love for God. And earlier in John 13, 37, Peter actually says this to Jesus. He says, I will lay down my life for your sake. And these very words that Peter spoke to Jesus will be now fulfilled in his life. So by following Jesus, Jesus is saying that there is a sacrifice, there is a cost that you will have to pay. You will pay a price in following me. And any relationship with Christ will be about our love for Christ and an affirmation that God is sovereign and supreme. And as a follower, I will do everything to glorify and honor and obey God, whether it costs, whatever it costs, even to death. And Jesus says this in Matthew 16. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Because if you remember, Peter had denied Christ in that whole incident. And this is something for us to think. Because here Christ says, let him deny himself. We have to deny ourselves. We have to make a sacrifice. There is a cost that we pay to follow Jesus. And this is the same thing that he says to Peter. So in having that right relationship, in Jesus coming and putting Peter back on the right course, he's talking about loving Christ and sacrificing for Christ. And the third thing that he talks about with Peter is, follow me. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? And that is John. And when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? What about John? And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that the disciple was not to die. But that is not what Jesus said. Okay, he said, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? So here Jesus is talking to Peter and saying, follow me. Maybe Jesus even got up and started to walk, I don't know, and indicating to Peter, follow me. But instead here, Peter turns around and says, and he sees John and he says, what about John? Okay, because Peter had just heard a very hard word that he is going to die and a very painful death. And his first thought was to compare. What about John? If I have to suffer, will he have to suffer? If my ministry ends like that, will his ministry end like that? If I don't get to live a long life or fruitful ministry, will he get to? And sometimes that is the way we also think. We compare. We crave to know how we stack up against in comparison to others. There is some kind of high that we find just knowing that we are more effective than someone else. But Jesus will not judge us according to how good I am or how inferior somebody is. It is not about evaluating our worthiness or discerning our faithfulness or our own role by comparing with somebody else, because these are not the standards. Jesus has a work for Peter to do, and he has a work for me to do, and he has something for you to do. And it's not what he has given anyone else to do. Everybody is called. Everybody is called to follow Christ. Everybody is called to do what God is asking us to do. And God gives us the grace to do this. So the question is, will I trust him for that grace to do what he has given me to do? Because here Jesus says to Peter, stop being concerned about others. Follow me and stay on course. So this whole conversation of restoration, of being reinstated, that Jesus purposely, intentionally has this conversation with Peter, is to get Peter back on course, to help Peter see what is needed in that relationship with Christ. That we must love him, that we must be willing to pay that cost in following him, and that we must follow him on that journey, not comparing ourselves with anyone else, but keeping ourselves on that course, our eyes on him and walking with him, knowing that the Lord is there and will help us. And that is what the Lord wants for each one of us, to be in that relationship with him. So let us prepare ourselves as we go into a time of prayer. I just want us to quiet down our hearts and just spend some time thinking about what was shared today. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And today he also asks us the same question. He asks us, "Do you love me?" So let's just take a minute or two and reflect on our own lives, to think of the many places that we have denied Christ access into our lives, where we have shut that door on him, where he is not the top on our list. Where we are fearful of carrying the cross to follow him because we feel that his ask is too big and that I will not be able to do it. And there are times where we also doubt whether we have the strength to follow him. Are we comparing ourselves, our abilities? But today, in this passage, we see that Jesus plainly says to Simon Peter that you will learn to love me when you begin to love others. You will learn to love me. You will learn to follow me when you begin to be that shepherd to others. We are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. Christ is with us in this journey. And he helps us. So he asks us, "Do you love me?" Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this night, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to love you, Lord, with all our hearts, passionately, zealously, with all our strength. Teach us, Father, to understand that when you call us to love, Lord, it is because we understand how much you love us. And we begin to understand how deep your love is for us. And our only response is to love you back, Lord. Our only response is gratefulness, as how Peter would have felt, Lord, when you came to him in that private conversation. And you showed him how much you love him. And you called him to follow you. Teach us not to be afraid, Lord, to take those steps, to pick up the cross, to come after you. Because there is so much joy, Lord, when we learn how to love others and to love you. I pray that you will continue to speak to us, Lord, as we reflect on this question. Do you love me? Speak to each one of our hearts, Lord. Guide us and show us, Lord, the places, Father, that we have denied you access, Lord. The places, Lord, where we have not loved you, Lord. Search our hearts. Search our hearts, Lord. Just invite each one of us to pray. Don't be shy. Don't let anything stop you. I just want to encourage you to pray. There are many items here. If there's something that God has put in your heart.
Heavenly Father, we continue to lift our nation into your hands. We pray for the coming state elections. Dear Lord, you know the present situation, and we do thank you, Lord, for how the elections went on, Lord, in terms of our parliament. And we pray, Lord, that you'll protect this nation from extremism and all the forces, Lord, Father, that divide this nation racially, Lord. And we pray, Lord, Father, that you would always give us the freedom, Lord, of religion, and that freedom will extend, Lord, to all peoples in this land, Lord. We continue to look to you, Lord, Father, for that revival, for that outpouring of that Spirit, Lord, that all may come to know you, Lord, and that there will be a stirring of the hearts of people, Lord, to know you and to worship you, Lord. We also pray for all the churches that you would grant us wisdom and understanding. Dear Lord, as much as we are limited by what we can do because of the laws, but let us understand your heart and let us have the wisdom, Lord, as how, Lord, that we how we should respond as a church, Lord, to the multicultural community of this country, Lord, Father. We pray, Lord, Father, that you guide us, that you would help us, Lord. We pray especially in the workplaces, in the places where we are, Lord, that we will seize every opportunity, Lord, to love and care for others and represent your goodness, Lord, that you would continue to pour out your Spirit, that we will be a blessing, Lord, Father, to others. Dear Lord, we thank you for this church. We continue to pray that you guide us and lead us. We look to you, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we are in a season that you are speaking, and we believe, Lord, Father, that you are shaping us to touch your people, Lord, to be an instrument of hope and healing. So, Lord, we pray that we will listen carefully, Lord, and that we will devote ourselves, Lord, to the things that you have put before us. We thank you for everyone who is present. We pray for your blessings to be upon them, dear God. We commit all of us, all of this into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.